My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Again, everyone, welcome to another episode. This week I decided to mix it up a little bit, and instead of having the same question asked to my two guests, I just have two different questions. They're not completely like opposite of each other, but they are kind of under different topics. But still, why not just have mix it up a little bit and give this a shot? It's my podcast, I can do what I want. My first guest I have is my friend Jeff, returning guest, and we talk about trophies and achievements and if we like those systems in place based on like video game hardware discussion and things. And then my second guest is my friend Austin, and we talk about kind of an odd question, but product placement in video games. So actually having real world branding inside video games and just kind of a fun dialogue about that. So that's been some fun to kind of continue to do this. I don't know if I'll always mix up the episodes like this, or if this will be a new, like, ongoing type of thing, but I decided to try it out this week, so why not? If you like the idea of having two different questions and you like the idea of breaking up the conversations in different ways for your own entertainment, let me know and I'll continue potentially doing that. If not, we'll see, and I'll probably just return back to the normal format of answering the same questions with the two different guests. Otherwise, not a whole lot of news to share up top. Oh, wait. Now, I do have my Kickstarter going on. So my new book, 32-Bit Library Volume 4, is currently funding on Kickstarter. It's the fourth book in the series that I have, breaking down like publisher by publisher, like the different games released on the original PlayStation. So books 1, 2, and 3 covered every Capcom, Namco, and Konami game released. Volume 4 adds multiple publishers to the single volume to get the game count around the same amount. And that ended up being kind of a little larger, but it's every Squaresoft game, Atlas, Enix, and Working Designs game on the original PlayStation. Every game gets a write-up and coverage. Every game gets a little retrospective piece on it. Tons of screenshots all laid out like chronologically from the oldest games to the final games on the original system. And it's been a fun project to do. But you can find links to that in the show notes in the below, whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That's funding through the next 30 days or so. So if you are interested in retro gaming, it would be awesome for you to check it out. And if you can't financially back it, that's okay. Even if maybe you share it with some friends or post the link somewhere, that goes a long way. But I appreciate that. Enough salesmanship here at the top. Let's just go ahead and jump into the episode and get to my conversation with my friend Jeff. All right, today, new episode, new conversation. We're going to talk about kind of more video game, like hardware-related things, but specifically around, you know, if we enjoy trophies and achievements. But I've got my guest, Jeff, here. I'll let him introduce himself. Hey. And then I want you to answer a question, Jeff. What is your favorite animal companion from a video game?
Great. I'm Jeff Amaranto. I'm a dancer and filmmaker here in Chandler, Arizona. And my favorite animal companion, I guess I'll go with the easy one. Pokemon, my OG starter, always starter, is Squirtle.
Ooh, Squirtle. Yes, I'm a Squirtle guy too. That's good.
Heck yeah. All my friends and everyone I knew chose Charmander, and I've always been that kid to be like, I want to be something different.
Did you ever try and break the game, pick the starter that was good against your rival, and then just trade immediately with a friend to get the one that you wanted?
Like, no.
Because, yeah, those games, like, when you pick, your rival always picks the Pokemon that's, like, stronger against
yours.
And so I played with a cousin of mine, and we
purposefully start the game not picking the one we actually wanted. The other player did, or like my cousin picked the one I wanted, and then we just went in, traded, and those initial levels, like, they would sometimes disobey you, but eventually it would be fine, and you had now the Pokemon that was better than your rivals. And
jeez,
just game in the
coming
game
with the pro strats early in game, genius children. No. I was more sentimental value. I'm like, this one's mine.
Yeah, that this it guy, always did bother me. My, like, friend. Yeah, I didn't pick you. You know,
I don't want to give him away. You know what I mean?
Transported via Bill's PC or wherever it was.
No, we don't know what happens in that. Yeah, in the middle of that transfer. Yeah, okay. No.
Okay, but your animal companion is Squirtle then. Okay, that's cool. That's a good answer. Good answer.
What's yours? What's yours? Oh, am I allowed to ask you what's yours?
I mean, I feel like I should be prepared to always answer this.
You should. Yeah.
Animal companion. I mean, No, I mean, I don't know. I think I said like Daxter before.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah.
What? Oh, no. My wife's whispering Epona. You know, for Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
I guess that's fine. Well, you know what? I'll change it. Your horse from Harvest Moon. That's a strong animal companion because he helps you
and
get
also,
around
quick
the map
question.
Quicker.
It's Epona. I thought it was. I've always said it Epona in my brain.
Yes, that's probably right.
I'm absolutely wrong.
No. That's probably right. I think I'm the one who
probably
said it.
Right, and you're right. You also said Ocarina of Time.
Ocarina of Time. Yes. this will all be edited out. Gonna edit all of this.
Weird. Odd. Yeah. Odd that you said
Ocarina
that.
Of Time. And Epona is likely the right ones. I've had three beers. Okay. I've actually had three beers sitting here.
Yeah, you should definitely keep that in. I'll be very upset if you take that out.
All right. But a quick story on the Harvest Moon horse, when it would get you around the map
the
faster.
Harvest Moon horse.
That's my pick. I don't know if my friend will like me sharing the story or not, but we were just young kids, and I mean, he must have been 8 or 9. I don't know, he's probably a little bit older. But you could name the horse, and then he was like, oh man, my horse is fast. Like, this guy's fucking like super fast, so I need a fast name for him.
Fast as fuck.
So he's like, all right, well, what do I do? I mean, gosh, what's a fast name? Like Flamer, I guess. Yeah, let's call him Flamer. So he had a horse named Flamer. We as kids, initially, you know, it went over our heads. We didn't realize what it was.
Yeah, thought it was super rad.
Yeah, then growing up and losing maturity points, we just would always give him a hard time for having his horse named Flamer.
I mean, forever, if I got to name a horse after that moment, I would always, just for tradition's sake, name him Flamer.
Flamer.
I mean, come on.
I mean, because he runs so fast, there's like flames behind him, you know? He's Flamer.
Yeah. 100%.
Right on. All right. Well, this one is... I've heard conversation about people not enjoying like trophies or achievements or thinking they're a waste of time or they're useless, which is entirely true. Like, maybe you don't personally like hunt for them yourself, but like the system itself, do you enjoy trophies and achievements in your games?
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. I'm not like a trophy hunter hardcore. I'm not on that trophy grind where I'll play just shitty games just to get trophies. For my trophy level. No, I like to platinum games that I really love. And I say platinum because I'm, you know, primarily a PlayStation gamer. I did play Xbox 360 and kind of got into it achievements, but I think PlayStation just does them better.
Yeah.
And it's my preferred platform. Some of my favorite platinums are probably, Bloodborne. Bloodborne was one.
You got a Bloodborne and platinum, huh?
Yes, I did. I was hardcore. I was very hardcore. I no-lifed that game. One of my favorites. And I really hope we get an HD remaster someday, and everyone else in the world. The God of War games and the Spider-Man games, they're kind of easier platinums.
Yeah.
But I really, really enjoyed those ones. I really enjoyed the second one, platinuming the second one more than the first one. I felt like the first one... a lot of the side tasks I didn't like as much as the second one, but generally I love it. Just more incentive to play my games, trick me, you know, give me points.
Yeah,
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but now that I primarily play PC, I I don't really give a shit about Steam achievements, but I will still really care about my PlayStation achievements.
Yeah, trophies. I don't know why I never cared about the other platforms, like same things. Like the PlayStation one, like I do enjoy. I do like seeing my score. I do, and like the idea of like rather than
what's
just,
Nintendo's like stamps, stickers, or something?
Do they? I mean, do they actually have something? I don't.
Do
remember.
They even have?
I know. I think certain games they do. Like, yeah. I think it's title by title.
Way to drop the ball.
Yeah.
Way to drop the ball there.
Well, I know that there was that Theater Rhythm curtain call, the final curtain call.
Oh,
or whatever,
yeah.
Just recently came out.
Yeah, the Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that music game. Yeah, I had gotten the Platinum for that last year, and somebody I knew was playing it on Switch, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But like looking at, like there's an in-game like accomplishments list type of thing, and like most of them are trophies, but some of them are not, and so like they just pre-baked that in there for platforms that don't have like achievements, like for people to still do it
I see.
I was like, oh, that's kind of smart, I guess, for the platforms that don't, to still give people incentive to try and like max out this or reach X level or whatever it may be. But
yeah,
I'm a huge fan of them. Like I am also not like a trophy like trophy hunter where like I'm playing like the $1 game for 45 seconds to get a platinum.
I've heard of those people. I've had friends that are those people.
Yeah, I mean I don't see like the purpose in having like 1,000 platinum trophies from just obscure games, but like definitely a game I love, I want to have like a platinum for it, like if I really really enjoy the game.
Give me the list. Give me your
Yeah, my list for like the trophies that I have, I think my first I know for sure was Infamous 2, and that had like a long grind to it that wasn't like super exciting, but like it was like, you know, similar in like the Spider-Man sense of like you couldn't miss anything as long as you like kept playing type of thing. So actually, you know, maybe it did require you to play through and like be like the evil side of it, but it was pretty simple to do that. But I do remember doing that and like really loving like the grind of that because I enjoyed the game a ton. But I mean, I remember like God of War, that remake, we got the platinum for that.
Yes.
The Spider-Man games, I have the platinums for all those. Death Stranding, I 100%
of
that.
You got a Death Stranding platinum.
Yeah.
Can I make a comment about that game? I just started playing that game probably about like a couple weeks ago. Insane.
Yeah.
Insane. I don't know what I was thinking that it wouldn't be insane. I mean, it's Hideo Kojima, but holy shit, that game is nuts.
Well, and one thing I want to like fight people over on that is like when they try and like, oh, you're just like it's like a FedEx simulator. You're just like UPS guy. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But like, if I told you the story of the game was like, oh yeah, you have like, you're in this like hellish landscape and it's like you're stuck between like two parallel dimensions and you have to like charter and like, you know, and like be a vessel for the essence of the spirits who are remaining on the other plane. And so you have to like bring as many of the essence of the spirits as you can and deposit them into like this safe dimension while this dark dimension is trying to like spawn and like bleed you dry from all these. Like if you told a weird story of a game like that, you'd be like, oh shit, that sounds wild. Like I want to play that. But that's what you're doing mechanically with Death Stranding. You're just like bringing objects to a point to deposit and trying to max that out and like, you know, to extend that reach of where you're bringing more items to and like the give and take of resource management and everything. And like, it's just told like in a story in a setup way where like, yeah, you're a delivery guy like in this strange like world, but like the mechanics are what's cool. And regardless if you're delivering packages or harvesting souls to deposit in a other plane, like the gameplay is what's rad. And like, yeah, that game's great, dude.
Yeah, Darren, people just don't understand the true Strand type game.
Yeah,
you
the
know?
Strand games.
A true Strand game, man. They'll see one day, especially when the second one comes out.
They won't see, and they're going to still.
Oh my gosh!
They're going to say the same thing. I'm going to be fighting on the same hill.
I don't know. I don't know. I think this next one has just mass appeal. You know, it's going to have mass appeal.
Yeah,
going to be huge.
Yeah. I mean, I've got like last year I did a bunch of RPGs for my platinum list. I did Star Ocean, Second Story R, Octopath Traveler 2, Final Fantasy 16, all in the same year. It was like the Square Enix year for me, which was wild.
I remember every time I asked you, hey, what are you playing now? Oh, another RPG.
Yep, grinding out these RPGs, grinding them
Boring.
out. Don't worry, I learned something new. I started this year off with Persona 3 Reload, and now I'm in Final Fantasy VII
Yeah.
Rebirth. So I've
Whoa,
definitely
yeah,
changed up the
definitely changing it
genres.
up. Yeah, I really like it. I will say I am also playing Persona 3 Reload in that game.
Yeah, it's
Awesome.
good. I like the
That's
fresh
so
coat of
good.
paint. I like the style to
I
it.
do.
Quick
I
battle
do.
system. Like it's just well balanced and well paced.
Oh, and talk about soundtracks.
Yeah.
Those Persona soundtracks are a
What?
lot of fun.
My wife can't stand them. Like when I'm sitting there playing it, like if she's hearing that smooth jazz, like dance, like mix of like Persona games, she's just like, ugh.
She's just not about it.
She's like,
I will agree though that it is a interesting choice for all the songs to have words. I don't think it would be as annoying if they didn't have words.
yeah, I don't know. Like they're just still great. Like,
But they kind of just grow on you. I
yeah.
remember not really liking it at first when I was playing Persona 4, and then eventually just like loving them.
It's like you
Just
can mentally
being
like
part of them.
tune them out and all that stuff, and then you realize they kind of swell up and when
Yeah,
you're
and they
like
kind of come back again, you
really like
know?
dominating like an all-out attack and something's happening, and then you realize like, oh no, I'm in the groove of this right here. Like, yeah, this is good. I bought
I'm
a
back in.
Persona 5 like Royale like deluxe vinyl box set thing. I don't even have a
Ooh.
record player, but I bought it to just like, you know what? This is something I'd like to have.
Just
This is a soundtrack I'd like to have around here for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Anyway, platinum trophies and all that stuff, I think they're great.
Yeah.
I would like to just address any naysayer as well, like who thinks it's pointless or they don't use them. That's fine. Don't use them. Don't unlock them. Don't do anything with
Yeah.
them. But if it really doesn't take much effort to like put them in there, like it helps me think like, you know what? Instead of putting this game down, never coming back, I'll get through two more chapters. Maybe I'll get a few more trophies out of this or whatever. Or if it's a game I love, it'll encourage me to like do a new game plus to just try it once more to get that platinum trophy. And I get more value out of my games just because these little like
Yeah,
nuggets of
I
like
agree.
thing there. So,
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really cool little thing that developers put in.
yeah, please
Definitely
please
helps. Yeah.
continue.
Please
I need
continue. Please be excited.
some real life achievements too, you know, like
Yeah.
bank account balance over 100.
Oh, there's apps for that. There's apps for that to trick you into gaming your life.
Maybe I need those.
Yeah, you need to give me Fire Life, bro.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff, for another conversation.
Yeah, anytime. I'm always down to talk about the Strand type games and
Name
all of
one
that.
other Strand type game besides Death Stranding.
Oh, I mean, Death Stranding 2 is coming
Oh,
out,
okay.
so
Gotcha. All right.
yeah.
Well, answered. Question asked,
Arguably.
answer received.
Heck yeah.
All right. Well, you have a good one, Jeff. We will talk to you again in the future.
You too. See you later.
Austin, welcome to another episode of the show. We will maybe you don't have to introduce yourself since you've already been on an episode where you've kind of introduced yourself, but maybe tell us something you're currently playing or something that you got going on gaming related. But after that, answer if there was a video game food that you could eat or that you could manufacture as being real, what would you eat from any of your video game food memories?
Oh wow. Okay. So what I'm playing, I just finished Shadows Over Loathing. It's like the kind of sequel, spiritual sequel or whatever to West of Loathing, which is like the they've made these guys, I forget the developer, but they've done multiple of these like simple stick figure looking graphic just RPGs that are very super funny, really good games, like just a lot of fun. Traditional, turn-based combat and just finished that. I had that a really good time with that. They're not very long either, so it's like a nice, you got if you're looking for like a 10 to 15 hour game or something, it kind of fits the bill.
Did you play it on Switch?
I played it on Switch. I think it's on everything, though.
I've never even heard of it.
You could probably, that West of Loathing one you could probably get for a couple of bucks.
A couple of bills?
A couple of bills, because it's been out for a while.
A couple of George W's?
A couple of, so I finished that, and then I just started up Princess Peach Showtime to check that out.
Your brother Thomas had been streaming that on Twitch. Last time we talked, he had just finished wrapping that up, and he had been streaming that. When I first recorded with him, he had been a lapsed like Twitch streamer. He said it has been over a year since he streamed.
I think I listened to that one where he was saying that.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, we should do it again. And then like the next time I had him on, he was like already starting to like broadcast. I think Peach was like the second game he started playing since coming back to trying to stream out and everything. And then he started playing Dave the Diver, I saw on Sunday.
Oh, nice. That's a lot of fun. That's a great game.
But I don't remember if he even shared his opinion on Super Princess. Or was it Super Princess Peach?
I think
that
was
the DS
one. That was the DS one.
This is Princess Peach Showtime.
Yeah, that's what it's called. So I don't know. I only got a couple hours into it, but it seems fun. Simple, easy, kind of fun, but it's cool. And speaking of good food, the food in that game and one of the peach themes looks really good. It's like all desserts and stuff, but okay. Super good looking food. I think, I don't know that I would name one dish, but I think all the food in like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, especially Tears of the Kingdom, with the exception of like the dubious food and some of the fuck ups or whatever. But, like you can make like this Hylian pizza that looks really good. And like obviously cooking is a big part of those games because you know that's like your health potion stuff and whatever. So I would probably go with that. There's other games that I could come to mind too, but that's probably the first one that kind of pops up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought for sure you're gonna go with the mayonnaise maker Harvest Moon situation.
I think
Just accidentally hitting the wrong button and not putting away in your rucksack. But, just eats it. Just a whole glob of mayonnaise, whatever it's supposed to be.
I don't think the graphics of like that or like Stardew Valley are like stylized enough or good enough to make it look like I want to eat that, you know?
Yeah, maybe some digital grapes or something like that. Stardew's got some digital fruit that's, you know, whatever. But yeah, not appealing that you want to eat.
Yeah.
Again, the throwback to your brother, Thomas's answer was trash can food, a turkey from after smashing the trash can. Yeah. Cool.
Well, honorable mention to Castlevania, punch a brick and meat comes out fully cooked.
Yeah, wall meat. Yeah, hidden wall meat. It's fresh for some reason. It's preserved in the castle exterior, but it's totally safe to eat.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, then for this episode, I think this is going to be a fun one and kind of off the wall one. This will be what is your most memorable? It doesn't have to be your favorite, but what is a memorable use of product placement in a video game? And maybe we just see where this takes us conversation-wise along the lines of product placement. But yeah, do you have a game? I have one off the dome ready to go. If you are still kind of murmuring on that,
I have one off the dome as well, but it's probably an obvious one. But there's a few others that I think deserve a shout out because there is a hilarious period in games for that type of a thing. But the one I'll go with is going to have to be Alan Wake and the Duracell battery. Product placement, because in the game you need, I mean, it's just hilarious and unnecessary for one. And for two, you constantly need to get these batteries. So it doesn't really like show the product in a good light. Like the batteries are constantly dying in your flashlight. You're always seeking out new batteries. Like,
that's true.
It's not Energizer. It's Duracell, right? It's one of the big battery brands. I might be blanking.
It's been a while since I played.
I remember it being, I think it's Duracell. I'm almost positive it's Duracell, but whatever the case, it's still like, it's not a very long-lasting battery. You're just constantly scouring for batteries, you know?
It's a valid point, because like the mechanic is like, you can't just go guns a-blazing and shoot these like shadowy monster things. You have to like weaken them and shine your light at them to kind of reveal like this weakness to eliminate them. So your light is like a weapon and a gun, but like, yeah, you're kind of depleting your light pretty quickly to have to replace the batteries and scarce resources. So like, you know, you want the copper top, you know, you want that to last all day long, you know, not just, you know, burn out in an hour in the middle of the night while you're trying to defend yourself against shadow monsters in the middle of Pacific Northwest.
Did you play the newer one that they did?
No, and I really want to. I have that adult like horror game anxiety, and like I just can't play them anymore. Like I just like it's just that tension. It just like really creeps me out. And seeing some of the gameplay and like looking at some of the trailers, like they definitely ratchet that up a little bit for like the Alan stuff. Like because there's a new character you play as, Saga, I think is her name, and you like it sounds like her parts of the game are like the detective exploratory like types of things. There is like combat and stuff with her as well, but it seems like doable. But then like the Alan Wake stuff, he's like in New York, I guess, for some of it, and like the dark alleyways and like the sketchiness. I don't know. I just feel like I would be, it just like watching it. I was like, nah, I don't think I'm gonna be able to do this, and this sucks because it looks really good.
Yeah, you're not the first person I've heard say that, just for whatever reason, about getting older and not wanting to play games like that. But I was just curious to know if they somehow got that brand partnership or junk ship and got a different one. But
Yeah, something new, maybe even, like something, because I mean that's tied into its mechanics. So like,
like thinking about it though, what they could have done is they could have had it so that occasionally you'd find generic batteries, and those ones kind of suck. And so you're always wanting the Duracell battery, because that's going to last a little longer or something, but.
That would have been smart. Yeah, because you could have like Magnum ammo for like, oh man, that's the good stuff. You want that. You want to find the copper top. But no. I mean, then I wonder if they would have had like, because the game is it's kind of set like modern day-ish, but not necessarily modern day. But I wonder if you could find the batteries that had that little you press the two pressure points and it will tell you how much
Makes sense. So
power
it'll
is
tell you how
left,
much
like
there
this
is. You find some
that
loose
90s
batteries,
gimmick.
and then you find out, oh, okay, yeah, I got 50%. All the things are worth picking up.
Yeah, still got some juice in this one. Good. That way you don't want to waste your time.
Check
Just
people's
keep farming
freezers to find the
experience.
batteries, and there, people kept them in freezers for some reason.
We have Nicole put together a whole nice bin from Amazon with a bunch of different batteries, just so we have them of all types on hand. It is currently in our garage refrigerator. Just I guess cold is something she grew up with as well. Cold keeps the batteries longer or something. I don't know if that's just a myth or what, but we're that household too. The game that I was thinking of that comes to my mind, and I think it's because I've been like installing like I got that Polymega like retro system, so I've been installing all the PS1 games that I have on there. But Jet Moto, so Jet Moto, they had a Mountain Dew team, so there was like four characters you picked up, and it was like this massive Mountain Dew sponsorship. There was a Butterfingers team, and so like they were like yellow and blue, and there was like Butterfingers banners and all that
Oh
stuff
my
in the
God,
game.
yeah.
And then there was maybe it was like Jet Ski or Kawasaki, or there was another
Ski-Doo or
brand in it as
somebody,
well.
huh? Yeah.
But yeah, there was just a lot of branding. Like there was a Mountain Dew, like the green and red like character you can think of when you're thinking of it, and like the little Jet Moto thing that they're riding. Like that's just because they're the Mountain Dew team and everything, so it looked like the old Mountain Dew logo. But they were all over, and they had like in-game ads and billboards for those like all the time. So it was supposed to be like, racing team, like NASCAR, like all those things. They all have like their sponsorships and everything. But I never quite understood that, because are we assuming that those corporate entities are still like manufacturing and making those products in this world? Because it was also like a weird like post-apocalyptic world, because like one of the levels was like LA, but it was like flooded, and there was like buildings that like were like sideways that you'd like ramp over and everything. And it just like I don't know, maybe there's just a major catastrophe to the West Coast city, but the rest of the world's fine, and Mountain Dew is just still churning out Baja Blast on the people. I don't know, but Jet Moto.
I guess I never realized that Jet Moto took place in that setting. I never got onto that.
Yeah, and
So that's,
then the
yeah, that
other
is
one
weird.
too, Coca-Cola. That was in the original Shenmue, right?
Dude,
Or that
so
was the Japanese version, and then now I think the remasters and the ports and all stuff, it's now Jet
yeah,
Cola.
I was gonna
But
mention
I
that
think the
one.
original was.
See, now I don't know if it's that whole like Bernstein, Berenstein Bears thing or not, because before we got into this conversation, I was thinking about that, and I even looked it up. I was like, well, if it's not Coke, then that deserves to be an honorable mention anyway, because that Jet Cola advertising made me think it was just Coca-Cola.
I'm gonna look it up here real
Okay.
quick.
God, it seems
Yeah,
like it was.
the Japanese version of Shenmue had real products, including Coca-Colas, Orange Fanta, Grape Fanta, Sprite, and two Georgia coffees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for the American and European versions, Sega went for fake products. So we had Jet Cola, and interesting.
Okay, so then yeah, I probably saw screenshots, maybe like previews of like the Coca-Cola machines, maybe, or something, and that's where I got. Or obviously, the color scheme is easy enough just to imprint in your head that oh yeah, it's Coke.
A winning can. Well, no emotion, Leo. Cool. No emotion. Oh darn, was it accurate enough? Yeah, well, that's fun. So, do you think, like, in a modern game, or, you know, do you think product placement in a game is a bad thing? Or, like, would it take you out of it? Or is it really kind of an indifferent thing that you don't really care?
I mean, I was kind of thinking about that. So, I mean, sometimes there's backlash about product placement. But I think if you were to have a game like, I don't know, a game like Grand Theft Auto, that seems, like, ripe for product placement. You could, I mean, if you're driving around, you know, Los Angeles or Miami or something, or wherever you are in the United States, there's going to be, you know, billboards with advertisements, and they do that. Obviously, they just do it with their kind of funny or whatever thing. So I don't know if, I mean, that seems like a, I guess if it makes sense, and in that sense, it might make the world more realistic. I guess maybe, I don't know. Or a game like Fallout would be probably easy. I mean, I don't know that brands would want that necessarily advertised in there, but they do the same thing. There's like the burned out, you know, Nuka-Cola stuff. Although I think in that game's case, that would probably take away from like the brand, you know, what they've kind of built themselves in there. I'm probably sway more on the indifferent side, but you know, case by case basis for me, I think.
Yeah, I think that like if there was like a period piece type like game, or a game with like a really like specific setting, like LA Noir or something like that, you know, if there were like real branding like things in there, like it could help it, you know, I don't think it could hurt it. And like a sports game, you know, obviously like it just helps, like, okay, cool. Like, you know, there's a Nike sponsorship in this or whatever. Like then your created character can, you know, your superstar mode character can like get something, you know, like a deal along the way. That'd be kind of cool. But yeah, like the Alan Wake thing, like with having like a branded real thing, it is just kind of like, it is, sometimes it stands out, or it's kind of like odd, like, oh, okay. I guess everything else in this world is fake. I mean, all the candy bars you can see in a convenience store, all the other things are like, you know, not real, but, oh, Duracell. Okay. I guess, sure.
Yeah.
And so it could be weird.
Yeah. I think like sports games or like a Gran Turismo type game, those games, I mean, they're better for having the official branding. You know, no one, you want to drive like the real cars, and you want to, you know, for those simulation types. So, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, it's an odd question, a funny question, but product placement in your games. So if anybody else can think of some fun or random ones, you can like share a screenshot or send me a message online at Darren Hupke on all the social medias that aren't named X. And yeah, you can find me there. But all right, Austin, thanks for chatting there then. And we'll call it a week here.
Thank you.